I think Fanny Crosby wrote over 800 hymns. I think they're still finding hymns that she wrote now. Of course, you know she was blind. She was blinded when she was a baby. I believe she had an eye infection, and their doctor was out of town, and they called somebody to come out that was filling in for the doctor, and he put some type of a salve on her eyes that blinded her, and then he was never to be found after that. He skipped town. So it's one of those things where, you know, God did something, used somebody, something bad to bring about something wonderful, because who knows what she'd be doing if she had her eyesight. But she made some of the greatest hymns that I've ever heard. And one day a Scotch minister remarked to Fanny Crosby, "I think it is a great pity that the Master, when he showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you sight." Fanny quickly rebuked him, rebuking him, replied, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, it would have been that I should be born blind?" "Why?" asked the minister. Fanny answered, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." How wonderful a day have been when Fanny's sight was restored and she saw the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. What a great day that had to be for her. When I survey the lives of women like men and women like Fanny Crosby, I realize how little I have to offer God. I have everything, and I find it hard to do things for Christ because I'm lazy. And there are people out there that are way less fortunate than I am or anybody in this room, and their daily walk with Christ is a model for all of us. The faith that Fanny had in her life was evident in what we have today. She left a legacy behind for us to bless generations. One day Fanny will receive a glorified body with brand new eyes. Amen. And Fanny understood redemption so much so that she wrote the hymn Redeemed. Okay? And I couldn't find it. But I want to talk about redemption today. Okay? Redemption is threefold. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And Lord, please just bless our time together today. Bless our fellowship. Open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, that we may see the truth that you want us to see. The truth without any preconceived ideas, without any prejudgment. Pure, objective truth, Lord, that you would have us to see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, redemption for the believer is threefold, okay? First of all, you are redeemed from Satan, okay? If you're born again, you are redeemed from Satan. Secondly, you are redeemed from sin if you're born again. And then thirdly, you are redeemed from a sentence, okay? This is the threefold redemption. This is not redemption. There is a threefold redemption that we talked about in the 21st century Watchman, just like there's a threefold sanctification. That's kind of like the Bible model is things getting done in threes. It's just like you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, you have water, which is H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Then you have the sun, which is alpha, beta, gamma. Okay, it goes that way. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's kind of a Bible model. But this is a threefold, three areas that we're redeemed from. It's not conclusive. Okay, there are other things that we're redeemed from. And Dr. Ruckman has a really good, he added a few things to it, but there's a bunch of preachers that that came up with this list of what happens to us when we get saved. And I think the list is up to like 33 things right now or 34 things right now. And redemption is one of them, and there's a whole bunch of different things in there that we're redeemed from. But that you can find that online. It's a pretty good little study And every single one of them's got scripture to go with it to show what happens to us when we get saved. So that's a pretty good thing. But redemption is one of these things, and these are three things that we're redeemed from, okay? In order to be redeemed, now I talked on a Thursday night about my adoption, okay? And the adoption is kind of like a redemption, okay? Where you belong to somebody in the beginning, and then you were taken to someone else, and then you were, but then you were bought back from your original parent. That's the difference between adoption and redemption, okay? With redemption, it's literally like this. It's something that had an owner that was taken away from that owner or given away by that owner to another owner, and then the original owner purchases it back. That's redemption, okay? And that's what's happened to you if you've been born again, okay? Now, you've been redeemed from Satan. Okay? Adam was created in Christ. He was created in the image of God. You were not created in the image of God. You were born in the image of Adam. Okay? That's why we need to be born again so that we can get put back into the image of God, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? We get put into Christ. We get taken out of disobedience, and we get put into Christ. That's what happens to us when we get born again. So when Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. He was literally created in Christ. Okay? And that's why his name is Adam. Okay? Some people say his name is Adam because he was the firstborn or the first one. And that's a pretty good interpretation, but I think this one is better. Okay, the word damn, D-A-M, okay, if you talk to a doctor about this, they'll confirm this with you. You can look it up in the 1828 dictionary as well. But the word damn means blood. A lot of people don't know that. It means blood, okay? And that's where you get the three different names. You've got a damsel, you've got a dame, and you've got a madam, okay? Now, this is going to get kind of personal, but I think this is where you should hear this stuff instead of from some stranger at a schoolhouse or some doctor that you've never met before. But this is where you should hear it. You should hear it right here at church, okay? But a damsel is a young woman, okay, that does not have an issue with blood yet, okay? When she becomes a dame, she has the issue of blood. And then when she gets to the older ages, near menopause, then she becomes a madam. She no longer has the issue with blood. Okay? So when Adam was created, when you take the letter A and put it in front of a word like a theist, and then you get atheist, you get the opposite meaning. Amen? So what you've got is you've got Adam. Okay? He was created without blood because he was in Christ. Okay? When Adam sinned, he got blood. Okay? And this is very important to understand because it is very clear. The Bible clearly teaches that it's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. The blood is a very, very important thing to understand. Okay? The dame is reminded every 28 days that blood must be shed. That's how important it is to God. That's how important it is, okay? That we are reminded of the shedding of blood, okay, in our everyday lives, okay? So Adam was created without blood. He fell. He got blood. Christ, he was taken out of Christ, placed into sin and trespasses, which is where we were prior to being born again, okay? And he had blood. The face filled in red. That's why the ladies wear the rouge on their face and the lips turn red. That's why they accent that red, because that's what took place at sin. We got all these features with the fall, okay? But the Bible is very clear that it's the blood of Christ, okay? Hebrews tells us that it's the blood of Christ that purchased the believer eternally in Hebrews 9. It's the blood, okay? The blood of Christ has always been the price for redemption in Ephesians. Always. You find that in Ephesians 1:17. Okay? And look at Colossians. The blood is very important. We have to understand the blood. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Nothing but the blood. We have to understand the blood. Okay? Colossians 1:14. This has changed in all new Bibles since 1611. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They remove through his blood. Okay? All the new versions, especially the NIV, they're removing the word blood. They're even removing it from the hymnals. Okay? There's a reason for that. Our salvation hinges upon the shedding of blood, upon the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why they're removing it. Okay? Without Christ, without the blood of Jesus Christ, there can be no redemption. None. Even when Adam sinned, blood had to be shed. When Adam sinned, blood had to be shed. Animals were sacrificed. And then they used their furs to cover themselves. Okay? So blood was shed even back then. Okay? So it's elementary to know that the blood is instrumental in your redemption. Okay? Now, this blood, the blood of Christ, it can redeem everyone. Even the creation is redeemed by the blood of Christ. It says in Romans that the creation travaileth, waiting on the redemption, waiting on the rapture. So the trees, the flowers, the animals, they're just like us. They're waiting for the Lord's return to be redeemed, to be restored back to what it was, where there was no pain and things of that nature. But the blood is so important. The redeeming qualities of the Lord's blood are so powerful that everything has to go through that to enter into God's presence. Everything. And the way you can see this is when the Lord was crucified, the Roman soldier speared him. And the blood and water sprayed out, okay? And the way I've heard this explained is that what took place at that moment was the Lord's blood mingled with the atmosphere at that time. And it literally spread throughout the whole universe. It literally covered our whole universe. And if you've ever seen Dr. Ruckman's teaching on the universe, he teaches that the universe is a literal pyramid-shaped area, or like a garment-shaped, like a poncho, or like a curtain, how a curtain hangs, okay? And God the Father is at the head of that, kind of like a pyramid with a capstone. That's where the third heaven is. Then we're here in the center, and then you've got things below us and all that good stuff. But it's literally shaped like a pyramid, okay? And the blood of Christ, since Calvary, has spread throughout that whole pyramid. And does anybody ice fish? Has anybody been ice fishing here? But, you know, if you go ice fishing, you know, the third heaven has the floor of ice, right? Or the floor of glass, okay? And it's almost like God is ice fishing. You know, he drills a hole in the ice down there, and we're the little fish down here, and he dangles the bait, and we bite, and he can jerk us right up, right through the hole into the third heaven, right? That's kind of the analogy. But the thing is you've got to go through that water to get to that third heaven, okay? So it's like, I guess fish, you know, they have a near-death experience. They have a godly experience. They see the light in the tunnel and all that good stuff when you go ice fishing, right? But then they get thrown back. But anyway, you know, the thing is, you know, we have to go through that atmosphere of blood to get to God, okay? And Satan doesn't want that. That's why Satan says he'll ascend to the throne through the sides of the north. See, he wants to go around the blood and climb up the pyramid, the universe, to get to the throne. You see, and that's not going to happen, okay? You have to go through that blood. You have to go through that water and blood to get there. That's how it's got to happen. That's redemption. You're redeemed from Satan. Okay? Not only is the believer redeemed from Satan, but he's also redeemed from sin. By nature, all men are sold to sin, Romans 7. 14. Paul tells us that all sinner that we are all sinners in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Solomon says there is not a man upon earth, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So even he knew it back then, when there was no Calvary. He even knew it back then that there was no just one. So he was operating somewhat under faith. Okay. John says we're liars if we say we have no sin. Okay, if we say we're out sin, we are liars, and the love of the Father is not in us. Okay, 1 John 1:8. But the blood of Christ has set all believers free from sin. Amen. 1 Corinthians. We're going back to the blood again. Okay, it set us free from all sin. Okay, the believer has been redeemed from all iniquity, it says in Titus. All iniquity. We're redeemed from that. Okay? Before we got born again, iniquity owned us. Okay? And the Lord purchased us back from iniquity with his blood. Okay? Paul says that the believer is justified from sin in Romans 3:24. Justified, the way you say that is just if I'd never sinned. We've been redeemed from that. Okay? Believers are no longer under the law in Galatians. Okay, the law is called the schoolmaster, right? The law, what did Paul say? That when I sinned, what happened? Death revived because of the law. Law brings about death. Amen? Grace, or the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, brings about life. Okay? That's why we've got it so much better than any religion. They don't have any hope for anything. Nothing. They're not redeemed. They're not redeemed from anything. They're under the same old curse every stinking day. The same old curse. Even Christians are like that today. They're under the same old curse every day. And then they have the nerve to become self-righteous. I'm born again, and I can't become self-righteous consciously. How could you be in a state of the law under bondage and become self-righteous? I'll never know. To know that you are sinning daily, that you are under that curse, that you're going to die because of everything that you do on a daily basis, and to still be self-righteous, that's the epitome of pride and rebellion. Okay? So believers are no longer under the law. Now, this does not mean that we can be lawless. Okay? We're told all throughout the scripture, we talked about righteousness in Sunday school, okay? So we talked about that, okay? It's a matter of imputation. You are imputed with this grace, with this justification when you get born again, okay? You're imputed with that. God takes it on your record and he says, okay, he's sinless. Okay, because he's looking at his son, because we are in his son. We are part of his body. So that's what God sees. Okay? Romans 4:8, it's imputed. It's a matter of imputation. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay, if he can impute justification and righteousness, he can impute sin as well. That's what happens when we knowingly sin against God, reject God. Romans 1, there's where the imputation takes place, is in Romans 1, the steps to apostasy for a Gentile. Okay, in Romans 1, you had his eternal power and Godhead is made manifest to every man. It's his eternal power and Godhead. You know what that means? That the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, every man on the face of the earth knows that. That's what it means. You can interpret it however you want. It means God will get a missionary to him. I don't know. There's people that we don't even know where they are still. There's undiscovered tribes out there that God is making himself manifest, even his eternal power and Godhead. And they have the chance to glorify him. And they either do it or they don't, and then God imputes something to them at that moment. He either imputes righteousness unto them and then he judges them by their conscience and gets them the truth, or he imputes what? Uncleanness and reprobate mind. Those are the things. He imputes sin unto them. And then they answer for their sin. Okay? So that's how it happens. If he can impute righteousness, he can impute sin. Okay? Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay? Also, careful attention must be given to the controversial subject of life over victory of sin. We talked about this. Paul lays it out in Romans 6, okay, where you can have victory over sin. I believe physical sin, okay, because Paul battled his mind daily. Oh, wretched man that I am, all the good that I would, that I, you know, all that good stuff, you know, that I wouldn't, that I do, that I, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that stuff right there, Paul says, I had my flesh under subjection. I believe him, okay? Paul was like a modern day monk as far as his behavior. But the great thing about Paul was that he had the liberty in Christ to partake in things that the monks nowadays would never do because they think that that would damn their souls to hell. You see? But Paul, with the liberty in Christ, he could go into a man's home and he could eat a meal that was sacrificed unto an idol. And he was fine because he was under the blood of Jesus Christ. You see? That's the way Paul was. That's what we should strive for. We should strive for a righteousness that makes us toe the line. But for Christ's sake, we can be a good testimony and a good witness to where we don't offend others. That's the way we ought to be. And that's what Paul's example to us is. Okay? So in Romans 6, verse 7, the believer is freed from sin. Verse 11, the believer is dead to sin. And verse 14, sin does not have dominion over the believer. I believe those words. Does that mean we can be sinless? No. It doesn't. What is he talking about there? Things that are dead. He's talking about our flesh. He's talking about our flesh. Okay? So that's God will not impute sin unto us. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay? Now the third thing you're redeemed from is the sentence. Okay? For every crime with a just God, with a just judge, there's a sentence. The law must be fulfilled, period. The law must be fulfilled, okay? The Bible is clear. A physical death is the sentence for all of those who reject the Son of God. All of those. And your interpretation of hell can be whatever you want it to be. But there is a hell. It's there, okay? It's there, all right? Where is it? I don't know. In the heart of the earth, somewhere in the earth. Are there different stages to hell? I believe so. I believe there's at least three. There's at least three stages to hell. The shamans will tell you that there's up to 13 stages of hell, 13 being the center of the earth, where the punishment takes place, the real punishment, the eternity of punishment, and that there's a big gulf between that 13th and the 12th. They believe that. Okay, the Native Americans. That's what they believe about hell. And I don't think they're very far off about hell. I believe that there are levels. I would say there's three levels. I wouldn't say there's 13. Those other 13 are something that they conjure up while they're sweating to death in a sweat lodge. But anyway, Hebrews 9:27. Look at Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, not only is this a great passage for salvation by grace through faith, and that once saved, always saved, it's also a great passage for dispensations. Because it says that Christ was offered once for many. You see? So there are some that will not be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, that could be people who reject him. It could be talking about that. But I think that it could be talking about the dispensations there, that there are some dispensations that it takes more than believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. That's what I think that's applying to. Okay, so the sentence, okay, the Bible's clear about a physical death, okay? This death that we're talking about here is the second death. This is the spiritual death, not your physical death. This is the torment that we talk about. This is hell that we talk about, okay? That's what death this is talking about, okay? Death is another inherited trait from Adam. That's talked about in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15. The cause of this death is sin. For the believer, death is replaced with sleep. Okay, we don't die. We go to sleep. Okay? And I don't know what takes place when we die. I know the scripture says that absent from the body, present with the Lord. But are we absent from the body when we die? That's a very good question. You need to study that out and pray about it. Okay? I don't know. Do we sleep until the rapture? Because it says we will not what? We will not pre-event those that are asleep, those that are dead in Christ, okay? Are they in heaven right now and then they're going to come down to the clouds and meet us and then go back up? Or are they still with their bodies asleep? You see what I'm saying? These are things that we have to think about. We have to honestly ask these questions if we're going to learn the truth. We cannot have a non-objective viewpoint of the scripture. We've got to study this stuff out and ask God for the light on these subjects, okay? The book says sleep, okay? How can I sleep if I'm in heaven awake? You see? So we need to think about these things, okay? So death is replaced with sleep for the believer, okay? At the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ, all believers, alive or asleep, will have their body redeemed. This event's called the rapture. We will all get glorified bodies. Paul speaks of this redemption in Romans 8:23. That's where the creation travails and the redemption of the redemption of the body, Paul says. That's what he's talking about there, okay? For the believer, the redemption of the body is a promise guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Redemption is promised by the Holy Spirit. The rapture is promised by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay? This event is a mystery. Paul tells us of seven mysteries that we are to study, that we are to teach, and that we are to believe, but we're to not be ignorant of them. Okay? And a mystery is exactly that. It's a mystery. I wonder what that means. That's a mystery. Wow. Is that possible? Did that really happen? It's a mystery. That's how we're to treat the rapture. Nobody knows exactly how it's going to happen. You know, Adam started with no blood. He sinned and he got blood. We got put back in Christ. When are we going to lose our blood? When we get raptured out? Wouldn't that be a messy day? That'd be a messy day, wouldn't it? Four quarts of blood laying underground. You know, or does it spray out as you leave? You know what I mean? Who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows? Anything that you can think of, God would be over the top gory. I guarantee it. Because our minds are so finite on what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean? Just hearing the voice of God would sound wrong to us. I guarantee it. You'd sound wrong and fall on the ground and feel dirty if you heard the voice of God. So just think what the rapture could be like. Just how fantastic of a day that would be, especially if we're going to lose our blood, you know, and millions of people taking off out of here at the speed, you know, faster than the speed of sound. You know, imagine how big the sonic boom would be of that. You know, and I've been on a sonic boom. I've had a sonic boom 180 foot over my head from a Tomcat, an F-14 Tomcat. When you go out at sea, you have no restrictions out at sea. See, when you're over land, there's speed restrictions, there's altitude restrictions, but out at sea, there's none of that. So when I was on the carrier, when we put on air shows for diplomats from like Singapore and Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates, because that's what we would do. We would fly these morons onto our boat, and we would have a huge party, and we would end it with an air show to display our power. And when I talk about an air show, I'm talking about drones flying and F-18s shooting them out of the air a half a mile away with missiles. That's the air shows that we put on for these countries, you know, that we do off the coast of Korea, that we do off the coast of Singapore, in all these places that we might go attack one day. We let them know what we can do with one boat. With one boat, okay? So, how did I even get on that? I don't even know. Sonic boom, that's right, the rapture, sonic booms. What I was getting at was we had guys filming it, okay? And the shutters on their cameras got stuck open because the sonic boom was so loud. Boom, just stopped their cameras because it was so, the shockwave from it was so amazing. But that's what a sonic boom could do. Imagine a million airplanes breaking the sound barrier at the same time. I couldn't imagine that. It's going to bring buildings down. Mountains are going to crumble. Earthquakes, it's going to be like that, you know. Things are going to happen that day, okay? So, it's a mystery. The rapture's a mystery, okay? Those that are asleep will be changed first. First Thessalonians, okay? We talked about that. We will not pre-event the dead in Christ. They will come up before us. They will be glorified before us, okay? So, Satan, sin, and sentence. Those are the three things that we're redeemed by if you're born again. But that's the key. You got to be born again. It's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You'll be redeemed. Okay? No religion on earth claims redemption for its believers. None. None. But Christ does. Not only does he claim it, but he gives it away freely as a gift. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive that gift. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this book, Lord, and God, thank you for truth. I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have a book full of it. So please, God, help us to believe it. Give us the faith to believe your words. Prepare us now, Lord, as we embark to honor you and glorify you and receive your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.